Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about something that I think is very critical, because we're looking for that important nutrient, the vital nutrient that fulfills many roles. And today we're going to talk about the health benefits of aged garlic extract for hypertension, heart health, as well as for immunity. Today we're speaking to an expert. He's Jim LaValle. He's been a frequent guest here on Intelligent Medicine. He's one of my favorite guests because, when he first came out with his book, Your Blood Never Lies, we interviewed him at that time. And we've had him back several times because he's a point-and-shoot expert on a variety of subjects. He's an educator, clinician, author. He's an industry consultant. He's founder and chairman of Metabolic Code Enterprises and Progressive Medical and the Progressive Medical California Clinic. And you can check him out at jimlaval.com or metaboliccode.com. Jim joins us today to discuss the health benefits of aged garlic extract. So welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, Jim. How are you?
Oh, Dr. Hoffman, it's a pleasure. I always love being on your show.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, actually, I think we'll cut to the chase because I think there is just a press release that was sent to me by Jay Levy over at Wakanaga of America about a new study that was just mind-blowing about the benefits of aged garlic extract in cardiovascular disease. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's the study that shows reversal.
If it's referring to Matthew Budoff's four studies showing a reversal of coronary plaque, so actually not just stopping it in its tracks, but literally showing a regression. And the neat thing about it is when you see the scans, because I did get to see those scans, is that the endothelium became more normocentric. So the center, the donut ring you looked at, became normal on, like the inside lining of the hose versus bulging or skewed to one side, which is what was occurring in pre-treatment in many people. So what's groundbreaking is that, we all knew, aged garlic, kyolic was a fantastic ingredient. But it's really starting to show at, what exactly is changing physiologically when you start to apply using scans and looking at things like EndoPath for, how well the vessel is becoming pliable again, how flexible it's becoming. And so this was, I think, literally the first time a dietary supplement's actually been shown via these level of studies to actually regress plaque.
Right, exactly.
And this is in people that weren't treated.
Exactly. And this really impressed me because, sometimes patients ask me, listeners ask me on my radio program, probably ask you very frequently, how do I get rid of plaque? And I, generally give them modest expectations about that. I say, look, you have a certain degree of plaque, and, our job is to slow it down because we know from studies that if you had a bank account with that kind of interest in terms of how quickly plaque accrues in the coronary arteries, you'd be a very, very rich person in a short time because I think it's something like 20% untreated, 25%. So imagine a bank account, 25% interest, you double your money in a few years, quadruple it, and on, it'd be like multiplying like rabbits. So I say, look, let's do something to slow the plaque. We'll just slow the development, as long as we keep it from getting worse. That is a modest goal. And even, with chelation therapy, something that I think is very beneficial for plaque, we don't see a lot of regression. We see maybe a halting, maybe a slowing, but not regression. So this is very significant. Also, they looked at, I didn't quite understand the study. Maybe you can shed some light on this. They looked at hard plaque, the calcified plaque, but they also had a way of measuring the soft plaque. Can you shed some light on that distinction?
Yeah, well, as soft plaque's the really dangerous or what's called vulnerable plaque. It's the plaque that can mobilize. It's the plaque that when you're taking things like vitamin K2 even, you're trying to kind of reduce the formation of this vulnerable plaque. And through the imaging studies that they did, they were able to define that plaque. And it's interesting that you talk about this kind of like a bank account, because it's very interesting when you look at how they did this study. There were several important factors that all came together. First of all, when they did a coronary artery scan, they could also look at bone density, bone mineral density, and of course, there's this direct correlation of loss of bone mineral density and calcification of your coronary arteries. And what they found were that people that were on the aged garlic, they didn't lose any more bone. So they didn't continue to demineralize their bone and provide the calcium for the plaquing process. So that was one interesting aspect to, you know, this whole issue. The other thing that they found was that in addition to that, it was fatty liver. So fatty liver would progress in the people that were in the placebo, because a lot of these folks were kind of cardiometabolic people. Mm-hmm. And so, but in the aged garlic group, no one got fatty liver. And the third thing was is that fat around the heart was neutralized. So what you're seeing is that aged garlic is having a local effect on the endothelium. So, you know, the inner lining of the artery is becoming more stable. The vulnerable plaque is regressing. The vessel is now starting to dilate better. Hence, the hypertension study showing, you know, an 11-point drop in systolic, even with people that are medicated with 1 to 3 hypertensive meds. So that's one step. Then there's the step of what it's doing metabolically in your body. Kind of as a... you look at it like a row of dominoes. You know, if you stop the calcification loss out of the bone, you limit how much you'll calcify on your arteries. And then if you improve that endothelium and the rate of formation of vulnerable plaque, you're once again kicking out another limiting factor. And then the other thing that they found was that there's reduction in oxidized LDL. So, right. So you're not oxidizing that lipid. And so when you have a, you know, when you start to add all those things up from one compound, and it's all been studied and studied at UCLA with arguably probably the top interventional cardiologist right now in North America.
Matthew
Budoff, the
he's
man.
Great. He's been on the program.
Yeah, he's a very good, very solid guy.
Yes, indeed.
Right. And so I think it's literally groundbreaking news that this was presented. And that was followed up by the study at University of Adelaide and the hypertension study, where they saw an average of an 11-point systolic drop, 6-point diastolic drop in people that were already on medication and were failing their blood pressure. And so this is I used to always tell people, your basic nutrients, you should take a multi and make sure you get enough magnesium and take a fish oil. Guess what? We now know that fish oil for some people, depending on which one you get, maybe yeah, maybe no. And, you know, and then we know that, vitamins are good, but I really think that, you know, the studies are such that, you know, you really got to think about H being at the middle of your program if you're trying to prevent cardiometabolic risk.
Yeah. Excuse me, a couple of points on this. One is, you know, I noticed the dosage on the study that showed regression. And, you know, typically people take one capsule twice daily. I do. I take the cardiovascular, the chiolic aged garlic extract cardiovascular formula one twice daily, which is, you know, something that we provide to our patients. I just do it for prevention. I don't have, demonstrable plaque or high risk. I just, you know, take that level. The level that was required for regression, well, I think it was double that, because there's 600 milligram capsules, and the level was 2,400 that you had to take. So that's 4 capsules, correct?
That's right. Yeah. For the regression, it's 2,400 milligrams. And I got to be honest with you, I've kind of used that dose in our patients for quite a while.
Okay.
Because
I wasn't aware,
of
that. That was eye opening for me.
Now I use 1,200 is what's used in the hypertension studies, and in some of the previous studies that showed the benefits in remodeling LDL particle size. So like making your lipids, you know, the LDL, for the listeners out there, your LDLs, the bigger your LDL particle, the less they can squeeze into your endothelium and lodge in the inner lining of your artery. So if they're bigger, they don't go through. When they're smaller, they go through. And, you know, insulin resistance and high stress and low thyroid are all things that contribute to making those, you know, little tiny LDLs. Well, when you take aged garlic, you remodel them to bigger, healthier LDL, which is another way that it helps the whole issue of cardiometabolic risk and laying down plaque. But then at 1,200 milligrams a day, or even at 1,000, you still get So you get the LDL benefit, you get the oxLDL benefit, you get the hypertension benefit. But when you're really going after that plaque aggressively, I think the 2400 a day is a better call. And, you know, you're going to use magnesium with that, right? Because magnesium is so tied to coronary calcification as well, right? You got it. I love recommending MAG and aged garlic extract together. I just think they're an incredible 1-2 punch for both hypertension and when people are plaquing.
How about the vitamin K2? Because you mentioned the effect of enhancing the bone and taking the calcium out of the arteries. Vitamin K2 does that, right?
Love K2. I mean, K2 is great, and obviously some of the newer fish oils that are out there, like the Omega fish oil that's working on the apo lipoprotein B complex 2, which is basically what triggers the oxidation of the lipid and then causes it to plaque. I mean, the newer fish oils coming out that are very interesting as well. But yeah, K2, magnesium, and aged garlic extract, and you've got a real winning combination. I mean, and then of course with aged garlic, you've got the cardiovascular formula and the hypertension formula, the immune formulas. You can always pick like what formula you want to use for base benefit, and then you always add a little bit more, just straight aged garlic caps too.
So help us out with that new form of omega 3, because it's kind of on my radar screen, but I haven't used it yet. You seem to be impressed with this new formulation, right?
I actually am. I kind of liked it because what they showed was that it had a significant outcome on reducing oxidized LDL and reducing apolipoprotein B. And so I think that, you know, and it's a raw material, so I'm saying this. There's companies that have it. It's called Omega.
How do you spell it? O-M-E-G-O.
Yeah, O-M-E-G-O.
Like Omega
really
Go, kind of like a play on words.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, it's like Omega Go. Yeah, exactly. Right. And what's interesting about it is it's more of a full-spectrum fish oil. The way they process it, it retains all the natural qualities of the fish oil. And I'm really impressed with that particular fish oil. And actually, they've even shown where you use that in combination with K2 and you get some pretty significant results on, you know, kind of blocking oxidation of LDL and then helping to, you know, kind of remediate the calcification issues. Now, you start adding a few of these natural products together that have this kind of evidence, and all of a sudden, you know, it starts to be exciting for people because, you know, in the end, even when people take their medications, I mean, you know, the metabolic syndrome case, they're not getting healthier when they get on their meds. They're just being managed a little better for the most part.
Yeah, even, I mean, the statins may even worsen the blood sugar control in some patients with metabolic syndrome. Lowers cholesterol, but doesn't help the blood sugar. So the question, if you know from the study, were some of these patients that were given the high-dose aged garlic extract, the cardio formula, the cardiovascular formula, were they already on statins? Because many of these studies, you get a mixed population because these patients are considered already at risk and their doctors want to put them on statins. So was this effect above and beyond the statins, or was it in patients who'd not taken statins at all?
Actually, it was he did an arm where it was no statins. They had no previous medication. Because, you know, if they have a coronary calcium score that's high enough, it's kind of standard of care.
Yeah, you have to put them on statin
when you study it, right? Yeah, it won't pass the IRB.
But a previous study of his did show the benefit, an additional benefit. Even in patients who were taking statins, there was an added benefit of taking the aged garlic extract. So they're compatible, and there's a synergy between them.
Well, I mean, you got three times less plaquing rate, even if you're on a statin. The plaquing rate went down threefold when you were on aged garlic plus a statin versus a statin alone. And the other benefit that if you talk about doing them together is that the, you know, statins, you know, you always got to monitor liver function with statins. You got to worry about, you know, am I getting a little bit of fatty liver? The enzymes going up. Aged garlic protects against that. So you get that side benefit of kind of reducing kind of a adverse event profile with that by adding aged garlic. And the other piece is, because you mentioned it, the whole issue of blood sugars going up, and about 9% of people that take statins will end up diabetic or end up with at least insulin resistance. So 9% is a pretty big number. And that's just coming out of the clinical trials where they mentioned it. I'm not, you know, making it up. It's just that that's where it's at. And so because aged garlic also upregulates a compound called adiponectin, and they studied this in metabolic syndrome cases, adiponectin keeps your insulin receptors working. It kind of primes them to be able to function and stay sensitive to the release of insulin. So when I really started the conversation with you by saying what I love about aged garlic is the domino effect it has, the deeper I've dug into it over the last 15 years of looking over all the research, I'm really starting to understand how special of a compound it is because its effect on insulin receptors, its effect on oxidation, its effect on pliability of vessels, its effect on plaque burden. Fatty liver. Bone mineral density, right? I mean, all these things start to add up, and you go, wow, okay, this really makes sense for modern man, because I happen to think that, you know, one of the big things that's really tearing our health apart is, you know, we're all under a lot of chronic stress, we're pumping out a lot of cortisol, and when you pump cortisol out, your bone melts down to buffer your blood. You know, you melt down minerals from your bone, and get them into soft tissue, but the problem is that you form plaque when that occurs because there's other inflammatory processes going on when you've got a lot of stress hormones coursing through you. So I just think it's fascinating. And this doesn't even talk about the immune benefits of garlic, because we all now, if you talk to cardiologists, oh yeah, it's an inflammatory immune disease. Heart disease is now, right? Everybody's saying, oh, it's an inflammatory disease. And so having these kind of powerful global effects, I think, are just, you know, it really is striking every time a new study comes out.
Oh, absolutely. So it currently, I mean, you're familiar with this because, you work with patients in your clinic, and you've written a book on testing. When it comes to treatment of hypertension, the natural treatment of hypertension consists mostly of putting people on what's called the DASH diet. You're very familiar with that, which is a low-salt diet. You know, above all, it has to be low-salt. It also has to be very low-fat, you know, lots of fruits and vegetables. Do you see any flaws or deficiencies in that kind of approach? Are you finding it leaves some of your patients high and dry?
Yeah, I mean, I think the DASH diet falls a little bit short. I mean, I know it's what people still kind of go back to, but, you know, what we really teach and think works very well is we're very big on a modified low-carbohydrate diet, so a low-glycemic burden, modified low-carb diet, which means we're not going Atkins-esque, going down into the, 50 grams or less of starch in a day.
Bacon cheeseburger, throw away the bun.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We're not teaching that. But what we are teaching is that, you know, you have to learn how to count your carbs. You want to try and keep that carb count from grains down around 30 grams of starch a day, especially if you're trying to manage your weight while you're managing your blood pressure. And the majority of your vegetables then are going to contribute to your carbohydrate intake. So vegetables, legumes, modest fruit, three vegetables for every fruit, and then lean proteins. And you know what, if you want to use a little bit of MCT oil or a little bit of ghee, you know, get a little bit of those medium chain triglycerides in there for energy, that's probably going to be a good way to go. I think that DASH diet's still a little bit too carby because, you know, there's too much, because you're really moderating fat. Yep. You know, if you're not going to eat fat, you're going to have to eat carbs. Yep. And, you know, carbs trigger insulin resistance, and insulin resistance triggers blood vessels to tighten up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, they did a study on the DASH diet, and then they found that a DASH diet that was modified to include more protein and even saturated fat did even better than the conventional DASH diet because it produced satiety. People were craving less. I mean, you know, when you're denied all manner of fats, your taste buds tend to gravitate towards carbs, sugars, and even if you get them from fruit juice, breads, that's still going to maintain that weight that promotes hypertension. So, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's that old story. Your body, especially when your body's inefficient. So people that are hypertensive and they're hypertensive because of weight gain and they're probably insulin resistant, and, you know, you saw those statistics last month, I think, or 2 months ago, 50% of the U.S. population is either diabetic or insulin resistant right now. I mean, so one in two people walking around out there should be listening to this insulin resistance discussion because the bottom line is when you get insulin resistant, you no longer make energy efficiently in your cells. So if you take fat away from a diet like the DASH diet did, your body is going to literally drive you to eating more of those starches and sugars. And the number one thing that causes plaque formation, the number one event, is postprandial hyperglycemia. So when your blood sugars spike up, and I regularly have both our patients that are going through cancer, and we're doing the adjunctive support for them, or for our cardiometabolic risk people, or any of our autoimmune people, 1 hour postprandial glucosis. What's your glucose 1 hour after you eat? If it's over 140, you've either eaten something too starchy, or you ate something that you had an immune reaction to. And it's a great way to monitor the success of, you know, what you're doing with them. And once again, as soon as that insulin resistance goes up, the vessels get tight. And that's why I loved the study with aged garlic and people with resistant hypertension who were having good success on their beta blockers and their calcium channel blockers and their diuretics. And they added this, and it worked because, once again, aged garlic's working at that adiponectin level, so it's probably affecting the insulin receptors in addition to remodeling the plaque burden and remodeling the vessel pliability. You know, it improves peripheral vascular flow. I mean, they've shown that in thermography studies. So I just think that, you know, as we look at the common sense approach to how do you really manage heart disease over time, it isn't by, you know, in managing hypertension over time. Look, you can't even get people to stay on their hypertensive meds because they don't feel that good on them. Yeah. And we're always encouraging people, you know, look, you know, gee, you know, depending on what your blood pressure is, try doing it with lifestyle, diet, things like aged garlic, things like magnesium, you know, really good theanine, really good. And you know what? Learn how to breathe deep again, right? I mean, you know, people have lost their vagal tone, so they've lost their ability to let their nervous system even relax so that their vessels never really get to a point of being able to dilate.
Yeah, that's very well said. So, great. Okay, comprehensive introduction to some of the latest studies on aged garlic extract. As our listeners know, we divide these podcasts into two parts, and in part two, I want to consider some of the evidence for the immune benefits of aged garlic extract. Also talk to our guest, Jim LaValle, who's written a book called Your Blood Never Lies, about the kind of testing, maybe some testing that's a little out of the box, not conventional testing, that can shed light on your cardiovascular risk, also on the status of your immune system. He's got all that information at his disposal. And you can check him out at JimLaValle, LaValle.com, or MetabolicCode.com. Got to crack the metabolic code. That's why it's called MetabolicCode.com. Thanks for joining us for part one. Please join us for part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Jim LaValle, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.